Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. What have we been talking about?
Bulldog faith.
Say it a little stronger.
Bulldog faith.
1 John 5. This is a foundation scripture that we're using for this series of messages that we're doing. The Lord has led me to bring this back to us as a reminder, to remind us what it takes to stand in faith, to believe God for the things that we're believing God for. 1 John 5:4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Just a little synopsis of what we've been talking about, especially those who may not have been listening to this, but some years ago, 2002, Terry and I really faced some difficult times. We lived in five different places that year. We moved four times. Pressure was on, and it really got to the place where it was extremely discouraging to us. And really, it got to that place. We had moved from one house to an apartment, then to an apartment to another rent house, and we had to move out of the rent house because it was a bad rent house. Bad rent house. That was not good. Then, so what we did, we had to move. It was like we decided all of a sudden, because the septic system, there was no septic system. They just had a big tank under the ground, and the fumes and all of that was coming up into the house itself. So we had to evacuate on one night, and we moved in with Kenneth and Gloria. They were gone on a meeting somewhere, and all of a sudden they came home, and somebody's been in their pantry. Somebody was in their refrigerator. Somebody's in their bedroom. No, we didn't stay in their bedroom. guest bedroom, thank you. But it was very discouraging. And we were in the process of purchasing a house, but it was going to take some time to renovate because we were doing it all with cash. And so the devil's plan in all of this, whatever it is to drain you through discouragement, through disappointment, through things which are seemingly failures. And if he can get you off of the word and focused on him and focused on what might be called a failure, then he's got you. He will drain you. He will sift you. He will get you into the place where Mark 4 says he comes immediately to steal the word. That's why it's so important that as we finish up this convention coming up and we all go home, those of you who are traveling here, you head back home. You better have that word with you and carry it with you, because the first thing devil's going to try to do is steal that word from you. And we have to come to a place in this bulldog faith where he does not do that. We bite down on the word and we don't let go. And the revelations that you've received and the things that you've learned from him, you just bite down on it and you refuse to give up. You refuse to quit. You refuse to throw in the towel. And when we were facing that time, I was really down about it. We're living with our in-laws and there's no house in sight. And I was just beating myself up over it. And I sat down in the little room that we were in, nice room that we were in over at the Copelands. And there was a desk there, had my Bible, notebook, and there was a little pad with a bumblebee on it, little cartoon bumblebee. He's smiling at me. I was so thankful for that encouragement. But anyway, that was the pad that I began to write some things down on. Because the first thing the Lord said to me, he didn't take my hand and pat it like this. He didn't say, "Oh, George, it's going to be all right." You know what he said to me? He said, "I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. I want you to get more aggressive about your faith." That's what he said to me. But what it did for me, it launched me into this whole study of bulldog faith. I began to write down scriptures. I began to write down thoughts and ideas and the fact that bulldog faith is aggressive. That's what that faith is. It's aggressive. There's an aggressiveness about faith. It's not an aggressiveness against people. We're talking about powers and principalities and things and the word. You get aggressive about the word. I am standing on the word. I am believing this word. I am trusting this word. So the Lord says, I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. And he really took me kind of into a half, halftime lecture that you would get in a locker room. And he started asking me this series of questions. And I began to see some things from it. And he just basically showed me that this is the plan of the devil to steal, to kill, to destroy. And what we have to do is stand up to that and refuse to be stolen from, to be have destruction in our lives, and refuse to be killed, but to stand firm and to stand strong and to get aggressive about our faith. He wants us to be aggressive about our faith. The message that I preached to you in the offering today, he wants us to get aggressive about taking hold of that. Even in that word that he gave, he says, I've got a storehouse. But he said, let me go back to that. I can quote exactly what he said here about this. He said, much more has been stored up in the storehouse of riches beyond your wildest dream that I've laid up for you before the foundation of the world. Much more is stored up there than what the church has ever called for. So that tells me there are some things in heaven that need to come down to earth, that we need to call in. He said, I have never held back on the church. I've made it available to you. But there's been a backwardness in my people about laying hold of the things that I provided for you. There's been a backwardness. But then he said, there are people in the land. There's a people that are around the world that are strong and mighty and growing stronger and mightier and more bold to lay hold and to put their claim of faith on the things that I have laid up for them. And it thrills me. It thrills him when we get aggressive about his word. When you take a word from God and stand on it tenaciously and walk it out to victory. And that's why so many times when people are waiting on things and they're believing for something and time is going by and it's getting longer and longer and longer, like I talked to you about last week, time is not your enemy. It can be your enemy if you choose to utilize that time wrongly. Whatever time it's taking to get to that answer, to get to the desired result, you have to choose what you're going to do during that time. You've got to choose if you're going to be strong in faith. You've got to choose if you're going to stand there and just declare the word of God. You have to use those times to encourage yourself in the word, to encourage yourself in the Lord, and refuse to get beat up. Refuse the devil to lie. Refuse the lies of the devil. So this is what, and the process that it took. Well, here's really the process. We had purchased a house. And the house needed to be renovated. But we were doing it with cash. Well, we moved out of the Copeland's house in 6 weeks and then moved into a rent house. And we were in that rent house for the next 5 years. For the next 5 years. It took 5 years in cash to renovate the house. Going to the bank to us was not an option. This is the way that the Lord told us to do it. And there were times in that house that we would just have to tell the guys that were working on it, pack up, leave, go to another job. We'll call you when we're ready. And the money would come in. We'd start back up again. But you know, the more we were going, there was a momentum of faith that took place. Do you know there is a momentum of faith? The more you act on the word and the more you act on your faith, there's a momentum and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the mountain before you gets smaller and smaller and smaller. It seems like the impossibilities in your lives are no longer an impossibility. And the closer we got to finishing that house, it just got strong. We hit a stride. We hit a momentum. But we had to learn how to utilize our time wisely. Confess the word. Stand on the word. Do not get down. Do not get courage. Do not throw out the towel and quit, throw in the towel and quit, but we had to keep on going. And the Lord spoke to us. And he said, now the house wasn't totally finished. There were still things in it, but it was livable. And the Lord said, take the land, take possession. So we moved in. We moved into the house. And for a while, we were opening our doors by sticking our hand through the hole and pulling it shut. Door handles. It wasn't completed. It wasn't finished, but we kept going with it. We kept going with it. And I'm telling you, as a result of all of that, our faith has been built. It's stronger than it's ever been before, and it's getting stronger and stronger. So I know what to do with time. What do you do between the amen of the prayer and there it is? You stand in faith with a bulldog faith. You bite down on that answer and do not let go of it. I've seen the faithfulness of God over and over and over again. I've seen the faithfulness of God in Terry and I, in our lives together. I've seen the faithfulness of God in this ministry. I've seen us go through all kinds of things. Being here 43 years, I've seen a lot of things in the ministry. I've seen a lot of challenges take place. But there's, and you've heard Glory and I talk about the $6 million deficit that we went through back in 1989. And we just stood, we believed. And I'm telling you, the Lord was faithful to us. What should have taken, what they were saying was it would take 18 months to 2 years to recover if you recover from that. And we completely recovered from it in 6 months. 6 months. There is a supernatural acceleration that is attached to bulldog faith. Things do happen faster. Things do happen quicker. And it's all about a momentum. It's all about this momentum because, you know, it's like the snowball effect. You take a snowball at the top of a snowy mountain and you push that down and it starts to roll and roll and roll. And that things get, it gets faster and faster and faster and faster. You use your faith. You exercise bulldog faith. And you will see things will happen. They will happen faster and faster and faster. I love the word that the Lord gave to us a few years ago about this ministry, that we'll get more done in 1 year than we have in 20. That's acceleration. That's supernatural acceleration. That's just like when Jesus, when the disciples were crossing over the Sea of Galilee, the storm came up. They feared, and Jesus walked out to the water, and the moment he stepped on board, they were at the shore. They were only halfway. It's about 6 miles across. They were in the middle. They were right in the middle. And Jesus stepped on the boat, and they were on the shore. That's supernatural acceleration. Those are things going faster than what is humanly possible for things to go faster. But that's living in the supernatural. That's what this is all about. And this is the exercise of our faith. I'm saying to you right now, if you will stand and believe and take the word and continually just put it down on the inside and confess it, you will begin to see things happen faster and faster and faster. It may seem like a long time right now, but this is the training period. It's the training period. And I'm not saying it was not God that was drawing that out. We were just learning things about faith and the development of our faith. And we finally got to that place. And even to this day, I will walk around our house on a Saturday when I'm preparing for church. I'll walk around the house and I'll just begin to give God praise to be able to walk in a debt-free home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain International Church, Kenneth Copeland Bible College is a debt-free ministry, church, and school. Debt-free! Debt-free! You're sitting in a debt-free building on debt-free chairs with beautiful debt-free carpet. Come on, just rub yourself into it and take that anointing. Woo! Glory to God. So, faith. Faith, in the Greek, it's an aggressive force that never backs down. Among many of the definitions that you'll find of faith, it's an aggressive force. It is a powerful force, and it never backs down. Like I said, it's like a bulldog that bites down on a bone. We bite down on the word, and we do not let go. So over the last few weeks, we've talked about some things. I'll just summarize. Bulldog faith is aggressive. It attacks the problem with God's word. You take the word and run headlong into that, just like David ran headlong into Goliath. He knew. Yes, amen. He knew the covenant that he had with God. And he went headlong into that situation. Well, we talked about bulldog faith being aggressive. Bulldog faith is persistent. It's persistent. Now, if you're prone to being stubborn with people, transfer that over onto standing in faith. Turn that over to standing in faith and being persistent. And what persistence does in faith, it sustains the attack until all resistance is broken and the desired result is achieved. Persistence wears down resistance. Persistence wears down the resistance of the devil. He'll try to talk to you. He'll try to speak to you. He'll try to say things to you. You're not going to make it. This is not going to work. You're never going to be debt free. This, that, and the other. He'll try to talk to you about that. And you need to actually out-talk him. You need to wear him down. You need to become so obnoxious to the devil that he just can't stand to be around you anymore. Because everything that's coming out of your mouth, he heard it from Jesus. And Jesus is the one who defeated him. Amen. So bulldog faith is persistent. It sustains the attack. And that's what you do. That's what you do when you're facing time on this kind of thing. You're believing God for something. There's the end result. The clock is ticking. So what are we doing? We're persistent in our stand. It sustains the attack until all the resistance is broken and the desired result is achieved. What I want to talk to you about today is bulldog faith is determined. Bulldog faith is determined. Let's talk about determination for just a moment. And when I talk about this, I'm not talking about just a word that you kind of drum up on the inside, but all of this has to be backed with the Word of God. Your determination has to come out of His Word. For whatever you're believing for, whatever you're standing for, whatever it is that you're reaching out in faith, it has to be rooted in the Word of God. But there is a spiritual determination that people can have where this word is concerned. When I went to ORU, that's where I met Terry Copeland. And Terry Copeland introduced me to the teachings of her dad. Changed my life, still does. But as I got to know Kenneth a little bit, long story short, he sent me, after Terry and I got engaged, he sent me all of his tapes. Cassette tapes. They're about that big. They're, which is funny because on the 1440 video that we're showing for the conference, they show a cassette tape up there. I'm actually wondering, do our kids really know what cassette tapes are? Anyway, he sent me every message that he had. I'm sure that now that I am engaged to his daughter, he needs to onboard me as quickly as possible. But I had a decision to make. Am I going to ignore this man or am I going to listen? And what I did was I absolutely immersed myself. I became determined in the Word of God. What I heard was setting me free. Because some of the things that I had heard after I first got saved, coming from the Northeast, you know, people were talking about some of the traditions of man, that it was God's will for you to be sick. It's God's will for you to be going through this. It's God's will for you to be poor. All of that had to be, I had to go through detox where all of that was concerned. But it didn't take long. It did not take long for me. I didn't fight it. What I was hearing was changing my whole thinking. My thinking, my mind was being transformed by the Word of God that I was hearing. And all that to say, I became determined in the Word. Determined in the Word. Determined to hear it, take it, apply it, and walk it out to victory. I became very, very determined. And the thing about it is that through all of these years, I have not lost that determination. If anything, it's gotten stronger. That determination that I have to be able to hear from God, to be able to walk on His Word, to be able to believe the things that He says on His Word, it's stronger than it ever has before. I haven't pulled back. I've gone forward. I've moved forward. And that's the thing that we need to do. That's the thing that all of us need to do, is to have such a dogged determination in the Word. Devil, you are not stealing from me anymore. I refuse. I refuse. You've heard Brother Copeland tell that story about Kelly and her daughter Lindsay many years ago on Christmas Day, when we had to take Lindsay to the hospital. Spinal meningitis. It was serious, very serious. And they just did a spinal tap on her, and the doctors were shaking their heads. And I was in the room, I was with them, as well as Terry. So Kelly and Terry and I walked out of the room. Kelly leaned up against the wall in the hospital. I can see this. I'm standing right here, and Terry's facing her. And Terry looked at her, and Kelly had this look on her face. I don't know if I've ever seen that look on her face before, but it was like she was staring down the devil himself. And Terry walked up to her and said, "Kelly, what is it?" She looked at her sister. She said, "I refuse to fear." And you know what? From that moment on, we begin to sense a change. We begin to sense the lifting, and continued to walk that thing out and saw victory in our lives. We saw victory that day. Victory over death. Hallelujah. But that's the kind of determination that we have to have. I'm determined to get this. I'm determined next week to hear from these speakers and to have my life changed and to go on to the next level. I want to go to the next level. And a convention is a perfect place. It is a compacted acceleration of the Word of God being deposited into the heart. There's a determination. There's a determination I have to see that happen. I looked up the word determination among the many definitions, an unwavering resolve that is based in God's Word. Determination. It's an unwavering resolve. I'm not double-minded. I refuse to be double-minded where this word is concerned. It's an unwavering resolve based and rooted in the Word of God. It's an attitude. It's the attitude of faith. And the look that Kelly had on her face that day, that determined look, it wasn't a desperation. It was a determination. There's a difference. There's a difference. Because a desperation, there's a sense of no hope. But determination, there's a sense of we are going to make this through. And we're not going to be stopped. We're not going to be held back, but we're going to make it through this. A determination that is based in the Word of God. It is the attitude of faith. It's the attitude of faith. And it manifests in different ways. I'm not talking about you have to have this kind of a look on your face, but there are times when the pressure is on so much that it may take that. There are other times when you just need to laugh at the devil. Ha 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 ha. My celebration is a demonstration of the manifestation of my expectation. My celebration is a demonstration of the manifestation of my expectation. Ha 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 ha. There are things we're believing God around here for. We get determined. But every so often, the Lord will have me listen to Mark Hankins. He'll have me listen to Mark Hankins. I've been doing that. I'll listen to Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland for a while, and then the Lord will say, "Okay, you need to take a praise break. Put on Mark Hankins." I've been listening to these series that he's had online, Laughter, the Best Medicine. Laughter, the Best Medicine. And it's a really good praise break in the middle of something that you don't, it's easy to try to take these things on yourself and carry the weight of it. So I've been listening to Mark, and it's really been ministering to me because, and this will bless you because now next week, Pastor Terry and I'll be here with you, but the following Sunday, we're going on vacation together, going to Hawaii. Aloha. So I called a friend of mine and asked him if he would come and minister on that Sunday on August the 4th. So Mark Hankins is coming August the 4th to minister. Because I think we need a big laugh. I just think we need a big laugh. So there's a determination in that, because what? You're facing something that is a stand of faith, to look in the face of it and laugh. Ha 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 ha. Doctor's report. Ha 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 ha. Bills. Ha 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 ha. And I like what Mark says, your spirit doesn't know if it's a fake laugh or a real one. It's just, ha, 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 ha. Mark Hankins was talking about how Bishop Butler was telling him that it was recommended to him that he have 10 belly laughs a day. 10 belly laughs a day. Because it's like a medicine. Laughter is a medicine. And so, ha, 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 ha. Everything is folding. Ha, ha, ha. That's determination as well. That's a determination. Really, it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith to laugh in the face of the curse of the law. Come on, laugh with me. Ha, 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 ha. You really should listen to it. Mark is funny. He tells jokes. Mark tells jokes. They're a riot. He told the joke about the pastor that brought his wife to the doctor. The doctor said, "What's wrong with your wife?" He says, she's snoring. All the time she's snoring. He said, "Does it bother you?" He says, "It's bothering my whole church." He tells the one about the guy who was addicted to brake fluid. He said, "I could stop at any time." Brake fluid. The guy that was... Were you explaining it to him? Oh, you didn't understand it. The man that was addicted to brake fluid... He said, "I could stop anytime." Brake fluid, addicted, stop.
Oh, got it.
Go ahead. Where did you go? Missed all of that. You heard me. That's good. I have no idea where I am. What did he say? I missed that. Brake fluid. Brake fluid. Brake fluid. Determination. There's a determination. I'm determined. I am determined to receive my healing according to 1 Peter 2:24. I'm determined. I'm determined that nothing will stand in my way of receiving the desired outcome. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let me read something to you first, talking about determination. Guys, put the picture up on the screen that I asked for. I can hear them now. What picture is he talking about? There you go. There's a face of determination right there. How many of you know who that is? How many of you know who that isn't? Who that is not? That is Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of Great Britain during World War II. And he was called the British Bulldog. The British Bulldog. Let me tell you something about this picture. Famous photographer who's taken other notable people named Josef Karsh took this picture of him, and they had just a very short time to take the picture. And so Winston Churchill smoked cigars all the time. So that he got all set up in his office. They brought Mr. Churchill in. He sat down. He had a big cigar in his mouth. And Mr. Karsh said to him, "Mr. Churchill, could you take the cigar out of your mouth?" He said, "No." So he shot a couple of pictures with him. He said, "Please, Mr. Churchill, could you just take the cigar out of your mouth for one picture?" He said, "No." So the photographer went up to him and grabbed it out of his mouth. It's true. It's true. But there's something about an individual like that. Really, it really speaks to me. It really speaks to me about a person, go ahead, take that down, person that is facing an impossibility. And those of you who watch these history channels and these history documentaries, Terry and I watch a lot about World War II and just what that generation went through and what took place. And here is a man that was facing something alone. The United States was not getting in this with them, really, until Pearl Harbor was bombed. And he was facing the Germans himself. The Germans were endeavoring to just take over all of Europe, conquer Europe. And Winston Churchill came in to his position in 1940, and he wrote, he said, "I felt as if I were walking with destiny and that all my past life had been put but is but a preparation for this hour and for this trial." Germany had their sights set on England. And so in the midst of the Dunkirk invasion of 1940, Mr. Churchill circulated a memo to the cabinet members and senior officials that read that like this. It says, "In these dark days, the Prime Minister would be grateful if all of his colleagues in the government, as well as all military officials, will mount a right morale in their circles, not minimizing the gravity of events, but showing confidence in our ability and inflexible resolve to continue the war until we have broken the will of the enemy to bring all of Europe under his domination." So that was a memo that he sent to all the officials. He had to get them going the right direction. And this is the same spiritual principle that we have to operate in. When you're being attacked, when you are under attack, what he was trying to do was to turn the nation around and lift it up. On June 4th, 1940, this was the eve of the fall of France, Churchill told the House of Commons, "Even though all of Europe might fall, we shall not flag and we shall not fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in the seas and the oceans. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." That should really be our attitude. That should be the kind of determination that we have when we are under attack from the enemy, to have the same kind of fortitude and determination that I will not flag nor fail. I will go on to the end. I will fight. I'll fight in the seas and I'll fight in the oceans and I'll fight on the beaches and fight on the landing grounds and I'll fight in the fields and in the streets and fight in the hills and I will never surrender. Never surrender. Say no surrender. The devil is defeated. And it is our responsibility to enforce that defeat. When the Battle of Britain raged, Churchill showed up everywhere. He defied air raid alarms and went to the streets as bombs fell. He toured the Royal Air Force headquarters. It's important. It's important what leadership does to show that strength to a nation. King George and his wife at that time, they were encouraging him to leave London, go to the country. He refused to do so. He refused to leave. And the royal family stayed in London during all of the bombings. That spoke to the people. That spoke to them and encouraged them and built them up. Everywhere he went, he held up two fingers in a V for victory. The V for victory. I wasn't around during World War II, but I can just imagine what that was like. To be standing and believing for victory in your nation. That the Germans were at their heels. They were dropping bombs every night in London. And here their leader is standing with this victory sign. Victory. And that really should be, husbands and wives, when we're going through things in our lives together, we need to, every once in a while, we need to stop and look at each other and go like this. Victory. Victory. Turn to somebody right now and give them the victory sign right there. Victory. 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 To the people of the Allied nations, this simple gesture became an inspiring symbol for faith for eventual victory. Faith for eventual victory. And Germany surrendered May 7th, 1945. It was almost 5 years after Churchill became prime minister. They had to do it day after day after day, month after month after month, year after year after year after year. They had to believe, they had to stand, they had to continue, and they won. They won. That's the same thing that we have to do. We have to continue to stand. We have to continue to believe. We cannot give up. We cannot throw in the towel. We cannot allow the attack to go further. We have to stand up and take our place in that. I want to show you one scripture, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And this is the one, there are a number of scriptures that I had, but this is the one that the Lord led me to. About this woman, the woman with the issue of blood. She was, I don't know how you envision her. I don't know how you see her. But I see her as one determined woman. I saw her as one determined woman who was operating in bulldog faith. There was a determination about her. There was an attitude about her that she had the attitude of faith. You know, you can walk into a room and you can sense the attitude of faith. You can sense if it's there. You can sense if it's not. And one of the responsibilities that you and I have is to bring that attitude everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Whether it's in church or on the job or shopping out somewhere, we walk into a store with the attitude of faith. Here I am. Praise God. Your lives are about to change. Greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Are you ready for a blessing? You just need to take over. Every time Terry and I fly, when we're flying commercial, I stop at the door. I lay my hand on it. I take command of that plane. I call you into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This American Airlines flight is now Pastor George's airplane. And I just take a few moments and I plead the blood of Jesus, and then we pray together, sitting down, wherever we're going, and I claim it. I claim it. Those pilots up there, I believe in Jesus' name. They're either born again or going to get born again, like right away. But you bring that everywhere you go, the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, what does it do? It lifts up. It lifts the atmosphere. It lifts up the very atmosphere, because that spirit of faith, that bulldog faith on the inside, refuses to allow the devil to take over the attitudes in the place. We just won't have that. So where she's concerned, it says in verse 25 of Mark chapter 5, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's a long time. That's a long time for this condition to be going on. And according to the law, she was not allowed to go in public and be around people. Year after year, she's dealing with this. And it says what she was going through. It says in verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She was going through so much in her mind, in her body. What was taking place? It was severe. Emotionally, not being able to go into public. And there was a moment in time. See, it says here that when she heard about her covenant with God, when she heard what belonged to her, there is a point, and I believe I'm talking to somebody in here today, there's a point where you come to the place where you get fed up. Enough is enough. You get spiritually fed up with the devil beating you up, talking to you, knocking you down. And you just get fed up with him, fed up with it. And what she did was she came to the place, this is 12 years this is going on. She spent all the money she had. She came to the end of herself. When she heard about Jesus, she said, I'm done with this. I am done with this. I am taking the step and I'm going to do what I'm not supposed to do. And I'm going to get out there in public and I'm going to find Jesus and I'm going to grab the hem of his garment, the word of God. And I'm going to take my healing. I don't think she was sheepish or shy one bit. Not one bit. She's sitting in her house. She's thinking about this. It's going through her mind. And she probably had just gone to the last doctor. And the last doctor said, there's nothing I can do for you. And she's sitting there. No more money left. Family maybe left her. All alone. And then she heard about Jesus. And she said, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. You know, it's amazing when the doctors say there's nothing we can do for you. What an amazing place that is. Because your trust is completely and totally on him. And she got up from that place. And there must have been a realization on the inside. I don't have to take this. I don't have to take this anymore. I heard about that man. I heard that man coming. I heard him talking about things. People have been talking about him and the healings that are taking place. I believe that belongs to me. I believe I'm going to go get that. I am going to go get that. Maybe for a moment she thought I shouldn't step out the door, because how long has it been she's been out the door publicly? But she did not. She stepped out. She stepped out into the place and she said, if I might touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. When she heard of Jesus, came to the press and touched his garment. She reached out to the word. She took it. She took it. And immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. 12 years this has been going on. 12 years this has been happening. And finally, she got up, and she decided to go to the source of all healing. And she went to him, touched the garment. And it says here, it's talking about, and Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? What is that virtue? It's dunamis. It's the dynamic force, the healing force that was coming out of him, that power, the miraculous glory that was coming through her into him. His disciples said in verse 31, you see the multitude thronging you, saying, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, told him all the truth. And he said to her, and let me paraphrase this, daughter, your bulldog, determined, aggressive, persistent faith has made you whole. Go in peace. What is the word peace? Shalom. What does the word peace mean? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness. wholeness. Your bulldog faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. She was healed. She took it. She took it. She took it. But there was a determination. And this is what, let me give you the line of what the Lord showed me about this. There were three steps that took place. Number one, she got fed up. She got fed up. I'm telling you, there may be a place right now. You just have to. Some of you have been beaten up long enough. It's time for this to be over. And there is a place. There is a place spiritually where you get fed up. You've had it. My mother would get fed up with me. I don't remember exactly to this day what I did to deserve that, but I must have done something. And my mother would say to me, she'd come up to me, she said, I have had it up to here with you. But what was worse, I am fed up with you. That was the worst part of it of all. Well, where the devil is concerned, some people lay back and they don't do what it takes in the ring and just throw in the towel. I'm telling you, you can't do that. There must be a determination about you to fight the curse, to absolutely, whatever it is that the devil has tried to do to you, that you come to a place where you just say, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with this. And then the Lord said the next step, and that's what happened to her. She suffered 12 years, spent everything she had, and then she came to the place, she said, I'm not living this way anymore. I think we need to say that together. I'm not living this way anymore. Say it. I'm not living this way anymore. Enough is enough. When a believer does that, the devil gets really nervous. And I'm not talking about something coming down just from the natural. I'm talking about with Bible in hand, with word in hand. And what you're really doing is you are rising up and taking your place. And if you could see it in the natural realm, you're slapping him across the face. There's a name above every name, and it's the name of Jesus. So this woman, she got fed up with it. She got fed up with it. And I wonder today, how many people are listening to me or watching me? You have to make that same decision. I'm done with this. I'm done. Devil, I am done with you. I'm done with you. Second thing she did was she got determined about her faith. Because it was her faith. She said that, daughter, your faith has made you whole. So obviously, her faith was working. It was working. There was a determination about her. And I can see it. I can see it in a movie. I can see how this thing will play out. And I see her standing over here. And there's a crowd, just a crowd. If you can picture the camera moving with her. And she starts moving through this crowd. Maybe she has a doubt or a question about doing it. And she says, no, I'm done with this. I'm getting my healing. And she starts walking through. And she'll bump into this one and bump into that one and bump into the other one and bump into that one. And then finally reach out and take the hem of the garment. And that faith connected with the word, and that explosion took place. So devil, I'm done with you. And I'm determined. I am determined about my faith. She's saying, I'm getting my healing in spite of the risk, the embarrassment. She got determined about her faith. And then she got to the word. She got to the word. And so what the Lord was talking to me about concerning this, whatever, musicians, come on up here. You need to get fed up with anything that is under the curse. Don't let it go on any more. Well, it's been this way. It's been this way for a long time. Don't let it go on anymore. Whatever the devil is saying to you, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't settle for anything less than God's best. Don't settle for anything less than God's best. Don't settle for lack. Don't settle for sickness. Don't settle for fear of any kind. Don't settle for discouragement. The greatest thing you can do when you're getting discouraged and down is just start laughing at the devil. Brother Hagin talks about this. He talks about how he was out preaching somewhere. He was staying at the pastor's house. And he said serious symptoms came on him. Serious symptoms. And he could feel the pain. And he pulled the covers way over him. And he just began to laugh. He just began to laugh at the devil. Fell off to sleep, woke up, the symptoms were still there. He just laughed at the devil again. And he laughed his way into his healing. He was totally delivered, totally set free. But there's a place, you get fed up with anything that is under the curse. You don't put up with it. Do not put up with it. I know, because my mother, she would do that. Whatever I was doing, she would let it go on until she would explode. And then I got the brunt of whatever was all building up on the inside of her. But it's not yours to carry. It doesn't belong to you. That doesn't belong to you. The second thing I saw was you have to get determined about using your faith. You cannot be passive about this. You can't be passive about this. Say this, no matter what, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this. On top. No matter how long it takes. I win. Say, I win. I win. And then the last thing that the Lord said to me, get in the Word. And that's why this convention is so important. My intention is to go down there. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm serious about this. I am serious about getting into the Word of God. There are things we're believing God for around here. A lot of things that need to be done. And so I want to go down there and just get my faith strengthened, bolstered, built up. So that no matter what comes, no matter what happens, no matter what pops up. I mean, I took my grandchildren to Chuck E. Cheese the other day. Chuck E. Cheese. Anybody been to Chuck E. Cheese? And there's something, we call it Bop-a-Demon. I forgot what else it's called. Whack-a-mole. I like Bop-a-Demon. And they little holes there and they pop up and you have to take this mallet and bop them on the head and bop them back down. And the more you bop down, the more points that you get. And I took my grandkids to that. And I was standing there watching that. And I got to thinking about what we do where the devil is concerned. I mean, he tries to rise up. Bang! The Word. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Everything I set my hands to, it prospers. Stand up. I gotta quit somewhere. Oh my. I wrote, and I'll finish with this. I wrote, this was 2008, June 20th, 2008. I wrote a psalm of determination. Would you like to hear my psalm? Okay, here we go. I've made up my mind. You want to say it with me? Or okay, all right. I've made up my mind. I have made my decision. I have set my faith. I am fully persuaded that I'm going to make it. Nothing is going to stop me. Nothing is going to hold me back. Nothing is going to keep me down. Nothing is going to stand in my way for the fullness of the blessing. You can't talk me out of it. You can't discourage me from it. You can't deter me from all that is mine in Christ. I am undaunted, unbending, unflagging. Unflinching. No matter what happens, I'm going to make it. According to the Word of God, I'm going to make it. For in Him and by His Word, I am determined to win. God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Catch hands with one another right now. Pastor John, come stand up here with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You want to give him that one? No? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. There's something that happens. I believe they call it coming to the end of your rope. I'm done with you, devil. This is a new day. There is a new sheriff in town. And you are done. You are done. You are dealing with one bulldog, aggressive, persistent, determined believer in Christ Jesus. And whatever the word says is mine. Whatever the word says I can do, I can do. Whatever the word of says I can have, I can have. Whatever the word of God declares is mine, it is mine. Hallelujah. Praise God.